Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, we have two peoples, and they are peoples from the dual screens in one of those other boxes. He's below me. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I will not below you.
No, you are below me.
No one's belowing you.
Andy, if you're not above me, you're below me.
I am below no one.
How are you, Andy?
I have like a shower thought for these things most of the weeks, but I got nothing today. So
nothing. Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm so fooded out and like itis out from like Thursday until leftover weekend until today.
Yeah.
So I'm good. Hi, everyone. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm surprised you're not in a hoodie. Like, I feel like this is prime hoodie day.
You know what? I almost had the beanie on today.
Mm.
The beanie will come forth at some point.
The beanie shall
emerge on top of my cranium.
And of course, in the other box is the brandest newest member. I think it's about a month now that you're a part of Dual Screens. It's Taylor Allen. How are you?
Hello. This is my fifth Dual Screens Gamecast / Dual Screens Crossplay.
Okay, so it's over a month. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh crazy, my yeah. goodness.
I have a baby now.
Time.
Yes. You have a new baby and stuff.
Got a yeah. bye-bye.
My wife went into labor literally as we were ending the show last week. Then we went to the hospital. And then later that night, she had a baby. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember. I think we were doing a post show, I think. Right. Yeah, or like we were about to do a post show, and you're just doing one of these.
The water broke?
All right, guys. I'm going to have a baby. Okay, goodbye. Click. Yeah.
You're holding it for 10 minutes.
I'm pretty confident she was in labor at least a few moments before she told you so that you could finish the show.
She was. She was feeling it all
yeah.
night.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We actually, before we ended up going to the hospital, we built a giant Hot Wheels racetrack for my son that was a gift from my daughter for him. So that when she came home from the hospital, he got like a toy and, you know,
that's
endeared him to the baby and whatnot.
No, we just gave sadness and disappointment to Jack when we brought home Penny.
Love that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring people you've never heard of, probably. Dual Screens Crossplay posts each and every, well, Tuesday, I guess, or Wednesday, whatever. We record it live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every Tuesday night, and then it posts immediately after recording. And of course, you can watch the video on demand or the video version of the show on youtube.com/dualscreenstv the following night. Listen, we're on every podcast service, but if you are a listener on Apple Podcasts, like if you're using an iPod, if you still have one of those, or you have an iPhone, aka iPhone, or perhaps you're one of those weirdos that uses iTunes or Google or Apple Podcasts, like the program on your computer, if that's where you listen, please consider giving us a review. It helps the show out tremendously. It helps that little algorithm, as it were. So yeah, go do that if you can. Before we tell you about, you know, everything else going on, or before we get into this show, let's tell you a little bit about what we're doing on the Dual Screens Podcast. That's our interview show, of course, the number one interview podcast in the world, probably. Andy.
Yes.
Tell everybody about our most recent guest that we had.
Oh, yeah. We spoke with the art director for Battletoads.
Indeed.
That was a lot of fun. Way more fun than it should have been.
It was pretty
awesome. I was a bit nervous going into that. I was going to shit on her face for the whole Dark Queen thing, but all in all,
here's what I think happened.
It was a fun episode.
So it was a great episode. Now, she wasn't the art director on that. She was one of the contributing artists to that, but now she's an art director for whatever they're doing next, which we don't know what it is. But here's what I think happened. Andy was prepared, and if she wasn't a complete sweetheart when she picked up that phone to like for our pre-show introductions, I think that completely changed it. First of all, she was Greek.
I was completely disarmed.
She came in there and was like, "Hi, I'm cute." And
I can't take a dump on your sweet Greek face.
Exactly.
And you have an accent.
And you have an accent.
And you're from Australia. I can't. do that.
Right?
The people.
Just crazy stuff.
Wrong.
Crazy stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to support our show, it's very easy to do so. You could just listen. You could tell your friends about it. But if you want to give us a couple of bucks, you could go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our two Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. And we appreciate you so, so very much. Remember, as little as $1 gets you a bonus episode every month. You get to vote on the topic for that bonus episode. And you get into our VIP Discord where we all hang out and talk about stuff. All right, so let's get into the show with everybody's favorite future t-shirt, The Adventures in Gaming. Gaming, 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 gaming. Taylor.
Yes.
Start us off. What have you been playing?
Cool. I've been playing Dad Simulator most of this week. Not a lot of time for games.
Fantastic.
A lot of the stuff that I've been playing previously. So a lot of Apex, more Call of Duty, Yakuza Like a Dragon, which I gushed about that game last week. I will continue to gush about that game. Definitely in like my top three games this year. Game is amazing. But I also, just yesterday decided that I wanted to get back into The Surge 2.
Oh,
which
okay.
Is, a like futuristic Dark Souls type game where you have like different robotic augments and stuff like that. Because it's on Xbox Game Pass, and so I streamed that for a little bit and played it off stream as well. I had played the intro to that game a couple of times on PlayStation and never really got into it. But for whatever reason, this time it just clicked. The cool thing about that game that's a little different from like Dark Souls or things like that is instead of having light and heavy attacks, you have horizontal and vertical attacks, and
that's
it's all
cool.
About like dismemberment and cutting off specific body parts to get your enemy's weapons or armor. So if you see they have like a cool chest armor piece, you target attacking their chest, and then once it's weak enough, you can chop it off, and then you actually get a schematic for that piece of armor that you can craft. And same thing with weapons and things like that. And that was really cool. And once that kind of clicked for me, I was just flying through that game. I ended up playing it until like 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning last night, beat like three bosses. And it's really fun. I'm enjoying it. Just trying to bide some time until a couple of games that come out later this week or early next week that I'm very excited about, finally release. So those are the big things I've been playing.
Sweet. Andy, what you've been playing?
Well, traditionally on Thanksgiving, my brother and I play through Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation 1. Mm-hmm. So we did that. We played all through Disc 1 on Thanksgiving Day. And then all of Disc 2 on just this past Saturday. And that game's controls have not aged well.
No.
At all. It is just... He was cursing up a storm. Like, he's like, I hate this fucking game. Like, you will not speak ill of the Metal Gear Solid. You take that back. You love this game. It's just, you know, a little rough around the edges. It's been like 20 years. Calm down. But played some of that. Again, an amazing experience. It's just what we do every single Thanksgiving. And then I stumbled across this thing on itch.io called the Haunted PS1 Summer of Screams Collection.
Oh, boy.
It was a game jam where you had to make a horror game with the PS1 aesthetic. And there's so many good things in this collection. There was one I want to point out in particular. It's called Structural. It's you're in your house playing a PS1 with PS1 graphics of the world around you. And then spooky shit goes down. It's very meta, very strange, and a lot of fun. So I fell in that little rabbit hole recently because the PS5 is currently being occupied by the fiance playing Assassin's Creed. He is loving it from what I can tell. The obsession is real.
Assassin's.
And yeah, that was my gaming exploits these past couple of days.
Awesome. So I finished my first playthrough of Miles Morales this weekend. I don't know why I was putting that off, but yeah, I finally got through that. That is a, and I know, Andy, you haven't jumped in yet. It is a very...
I want to soon.
Very good game. Like, it is I would say it's nearly superior in the to the 2018 game in nearly every way. And the character development that they did, everything leading up to the finale in that game, like there were plenty of moments at the end of that game that had me choked up. Really great game. I can't say enough about how much fun that game was. I played most of it in performance mode, which is the 60 FPS with the some of the lighting effects turned down a little bit. The end of the game I played in fidelity mode, and once you get used to the frame dip, like once you get used to the fact that you're not buttery smooth anymore, your brain just like clicks, and then you see everything smooth again. But everything looked like stop motion for like the first 2 minutes that you switch it off and if you're like, which one is for me,
like,
you have to give it time, like give it like 10 or 20 minutes of swinging around, getting used to it. Cause your brain just needs to like process that new way to see images. It's really bizarre. I've also been, playing through the, single player kind of journey mode or whatever in Tetris Effect on the Series X. While I was playing through that while I was downloading Cold War. Yes, I have Call of Duty Cold War. Yes, it is in my system. Yes, it is ready to be played.
It'll be that plunge now, have you?
It'll be my first Call of Duty since Modern Warfare 2.
Oh my god.
Yes.
That's a strange feeling.
I played Modern Warfare, World at War, Modern Warfare 2. Those were the trifecta, and I played them on my 360 because that's where my friends played. So I was like, you know what? I have the Series X. I have your typical Game Pass stuff and whatever, but I want to buy something. I want something that's going to be, you know, my game on the Series X right now. And so I chose that. So we're going to play some Purger here over here. Taylor and I are going to play some multiplayer and unlocks me some attachments for my weapon and whatnot.
Yeah,
but most importantly, this week, the game I played that I feel like is most important to the conversation is a game that was provided to us for playthrough and review, and that was Chronos Before the Ashes, which we have a first play up on youtube.com/dualscreens.tv. You can watch me play the first hour or so of the game. This is I would call it a Souls Light. It is a prequel to Remnant from the Ashes. It is a... I would call this game a very... what's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of like a... It's Souls Light in a sense where there's no... Like, the big baddies aren't like what you're working towards. You're trying to like figure out how to navigate the world, but the world is kind of... I wouldn't say it's as thought out as a Souls game. It's more, to be fair, I'm only a few hours in, so I don't know how much it's going to open up. The combat is really satisfying. I will give it that. It has a lot of weight, has a nice like lock-on system. You have your dodging, your parrying. Parrying I wish was a little better. I don't like the timing of it yet. I'm just used to it. It has an animation, basically. When you're parrying, you bring the shield in front of you, and then you swing the shield up. And I don't know if you need to do it where you want to start press the button when they're about to hit you, or if you need to have it here and time the upswing. I haven't quite figured that part out, but the cool hook in this game is that every time you die, you don't like lose souls or anything like that. When you die, your character ages 1 year. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so you start off as an 18-year-old. And when you die, when you get to age 20, you get a permanent boost, permanent like stat boost. So you can make as you're getting older and older and older, you can make yourself more wise, which gives you more magic abilities, or you can make yourself faster or stronger or whatever, you know, or more health or, you know, whatever you want to do. So like my build, I'm focusing on speed and health. I'm focusing on and you level up generously. Like you'll keep leveling up too and pumping points into your stats, which I really like. I love that risk reward where you're just like, all right, and every time you die, it does reset all the enemies and stuff like that, so you could go through. And the cool thing.
So really, really quickly, yeah. Steve, did you play Remnant?
So I didn't play
on like
But I've seen it. I've seen plenty of people play it. Like I know a couple of streamers that you know we know played through it, and I have it. I have it for I think Epic.
It was free on Epic.
Yeah, that's where I downloaded it. Yeah.
So, is this a similar layout to like the world structure? I personally like I love these kinds of games. So Remnant, I really really enjoyed. Is it similar in like world structure where? Like the dungeons that you go into are kind of randomly generated and then they have a static overworld.
It's more Metroidvania like, but instead of needing to get a power or something, it's like Resident Evil where you just kind of have to find an item. So you're going around, like in one case there was a gate that was locked that would have given me a path to the boss's chamber. Like you can go to the boss's chamber, but he instantly one hits you and you like run through he's like a giant golem and you go through and you go through this like little tunnel and then he like reaches in and you have to figure out a way to like close that gate on him. I think like I'm still trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do because there's no way to like actually go toe to toe with him because he just one hits you every time. So I'm like trying to figure out, and then there was this other gate, and I'm like, how do I get the gate? And obviously, it didn't have a crank. So then you go, and it encourages you to just explore and figure things out, and you kind of just go around. And all right, oh, I found a cog. It's like Resident Evil. Like I found a cog. Okay, what is this cog? Oh, it doesn't have a shank or a shaft. Okay, so now I'm going around, and I find an enemy that has a satchel or whatever, and he drops the thing with the item or what I forget how I got it, but. Basically, I cleared a room, and then it had the item. So then, and then you combine the two items, you put it on the thing, and then you crank the gate, and it opens up, and you can go through now. And now I can get to around the boss a little quicker, but I still haven't figured out how I can kill this thing because as I'm moving around in the world, I keep finding more stuff deeper and deeper, like more enemies. More encounters, more rooms. I flooded a sewer, but I don't know where that sewer leads to. Like I used a crank. I opened up a waterfall and it went down a path and down into a sewer. And I have no idea what that did. Like I still need to explore to figure it out, but it's not procedurally generated. It's all methodically built. The main crux of this is that it's purpose. Everything's purposeful. Everything's laid out a certain way, and you're meant to fix it. And they don't like reset the world. They just reset the enemies. So it's way more Souls-like in that sense. But it's very much like Souls-like. You could unlock shortcuts if you. Oh, I go off the beaten path and I found this little door that I found a key for and I unlock it and now I can get to the beginning area a lot quicker. Like I could go to the or from the beginning to this further deep area. It's cool. I will say it doesn't run great. I'm playing the PS4 version on PS5 and it looks everything looks very muddy, at least in the first world. Very uninteresting level. Textures, colors are very bland, brown, rust, gray. Doesn't really look great. The enemies are interesting. They're like little goblin creatures right now. You get you have to figure out how to beat each one of them. It's not particularly difficult in those encounters. Those like one on threes are pretty easy to handle. It's much less than your typical like Bloodborne, Soulsborne game. But the boss, again, I haven't figured out what I'm supposed to do to defeat him. One of the cool things that you do get is you get elemental powers, and the way that works is the more that you are hitting or I think it might be dodging or blocking, whatever it is, you charge up the meter, and then all of a sudden you could do a like flame attack. That's the first one you get is a flame attack. If you hold heavy, it's light and heavy attacks, and if you hold a heavy attack, the sword will go on fire. So it's got some pretty cool stuff there, and then you could also like unleash a little flame burst too, like as you're going along. So it's got a lot of options. I'm interested to see how this world design feeds into how I'm gonna get past this boss, because I don't, in his chamber there's no like obvious answer. So I'm in that sense, the carrot at the end of the stick is the intrigue of the world. As ugly as the world is to be in, it's like it's not ugly in the beautiful way of Bloodborne, you know? It's ugly in a way that it's like completely disinteresting. The walls are disinteresting, the doors are disinteresting, like nothing is particularly interesting to look at, but the intrigue is like, what am I supposed to do? It kind of sparks that want to discover in you, kind of like a Breath of the Wild in a way.
Is the game co-op like Remnant was?
I don't think so. You have the option of creating a male or female character. That's really like your only option, and you can do sword or axe. I didn't see a multiplayer option, but I wasn't really looking for it. So who knows if I'm not sure.
No gunplay either.
No, it is all swords. Okay. It's all melee.
Because Remnant was like very reliant on like those cool guns and stuff.
Yeah,
interesting. I'm intrigued.
It takes place in like a dystopian future, and. Mm-hmm. So like you're like on like computer terminals with like a sword and a shield, kind of like Fallout terminals, and you're unlocking stuff, and then you find this time crystal, this Chronos crystal, and you touch it and it sends you back into like this castle. So I don't really know how it's connected. You're supposed to, the whole object is for you to find and defeat this dragon that brought the end times. But I don't know if you're going back in time to kill the dragon. I don't know if you're going forward in time to kill the dragon. I don't know if you're going to like a parallel dimension. I think it's a parallel dimension. But you're going like back and forth between like your dystopian future hellscape and this medieval-ish world, which is pretty cool. I listen, if you like these games, it's hard for me not to recommend it right now, because I am having fun. It just runs like maybe 20 frames a second. Like,
oh good god,
you know, it's like it struggles to hit 30, I think. It's got a lot of like camera stutter, like as you're panning. I did like the same thing with Spider-Man. I got used to it as I was playing. So,
I think that's how it was for Remnant on console versus PC too. Mm. Like PC it ran really well, but on consoles it just wasn't super super well optimized.
Yeah, I think that's what we have here. I think that's the case here.
Cool.
Because there's no reason why like PS5 wouldn't run this PS4 game. Like it's probably just not optimized for it. All right, we have a lot of news to get into here. So let's start with the indie news update. Andy, what do you got for us?
I think I want to give this to Taylor, because apparently this makes him shit his pants. So it's all you, buddy. You go for it.
Yeah, I added this one. The team over at Motion Twin, most famously known for developing Dead Cells, announced today that the game hit 3.5 million units shipped, which is huge. This is a team of literally six people. They've got three developers and three artists, and that's it. They're all like part owners in the company. And so I've loved this team for a long time. I played Dead Cells when it was back in alpha and stuff like that. So they announced it hit 3.5 million units shipped. And they announced a new DLC that's coming out in 2021 that looks very cool. So I'm super excited about that. I'm trying to see if I can find the name of the new DLC. I can't find it right now.
Dead Cells has a very hardcore audience.
I'm not joking when I say I've put probably 250 to 300 hours into Dead Cells across PlayStation and PC. That game is just incredible. The impact and everything from the combat and the different abilities that you can get. I absolutely love that game. So I'm very, very excited about this.
Dope. All right, guys, it's now time to get into the dual screens rapport. Taylor, since you just did the indie news update, let's let Andy speak a little bit. Andy, why don't you start us off with your first story here?
I think I need to hold on. I need to put my glasses on for this.
Oh, your glasses. Oh, here we go.
Just so I can take them off and do one of these movements. All right, here we go. Here we fucking go again with this bullshit nonsense. Metal Gear Solid. Now here's the first bit. Metal Gear Solid is apparently being remade by Blue Point Studios.
Uh-huh.
It's been in the works for evidently 3 years. And it's got the PlayStation 4 and 5 architecture Mark Cerny attached on the game as well.
Yeah.
And also, on top of this shit parfait, it's gonna be revealed at the Game Awards
next week. Of course it is, Andy.
So there's that. Now, okay, cool.
So get ready.
I get it. I get it. We've there was the, you know, Metal Gear Rex roar in Demon's Souls that everyone got all wet about.
Sure,
so yeah, this could be that. But also in this little news bomb, which came from YouTuber Moore's Law is Dead, who had leaked the God of War Ragnarok before its reveal, which you could have guessed a God of War sequel, but you know, it is what it is.
Sure.
He also says that he can almost confirm that Silent Hills, not Silent Hill, Hills, the Kojima project, which was canceled 5 years ago, 5 freaking years it's been, is back on the table and will also be revealed at the Game Awards this year. Stop! Don't give me hope anymore.
This continues the circle jerk, the Kojima circle jerk of the Game Awards.
I've been following this for the better part of a year, since actually late last year when it was, there's going to be two Silent Hill games. One's like a soft reboot and one's a Silent Hills like revival.
Yeah.
Then Silent Hills went away for a long time, and then now that's back in the mix. I don't see how a company that went out of its way to make PT unplayable on PS5 is suddenly saying, yeah, Kojima, we love you again. Please do Silent Hills for Sony for PS5.
Andy.
Unless it's some sort of masterstroke trolling scheme on Kojima's part, fine.
But Andy.
Yes?
What if it's because they're making a PT2?
I don't want to have hope. It's crippling me.
What if they're making PT2 for PS5?
Also, I want to say a big fat wet fuck you to What Culture Gaming with their YouTube headline that said Silent Hills confirmed. It's not confirmed,
no,
guys.
No question mark.
Nothing is confirmed. No question mark is confirmed. Like, no, please.
Interesting.
Stop it. Stop all of it. And yeah, I want this to be true deep down.
Don't we all?
It's been so many years for Silent Hill especially, but yeah, I don't know. I'm going to watch this thing and be let down again. It's going to happen. I can't. It's going to break my heart for the 8th time this year.
You're not wrong. Taylor.
Andy, I've got terrible news for you.
Uh-oh.
It's never happening.
Oh, good God.
But good news for you. Yes. A bunch of new additions to Xbox Game Pass that you can be excited about.
Hell yeah.
Yay.
Xbox came out and announced 17 new games coming to Game Pass in December of 2020. Headlined by Control for Android and console. Very sad that that's not coming to PC. Some other really good ones that I'm excited about. Doom Eternal is coming to PC. Rage 2 is finally going to be streamable. That's been on Game Pass, but it's now streamable on Android. They're adding Slime Rancher. They're adding Dragon Quest XI S, Echoes of the Elusive Age Definitive Edition to console and PC. That's a
quite
very
a few
good
words.
One. Yeah, it is. That game is fantastic, by the way. They're adding Greedfall. They're adding Superhot to Android and console, Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair, and
nice.
A bunch more. So a really good bunch of games coming to Game Pass this month.
Yeah, and PS Plus had their list of stuff that they were adding, and I think Control was on that list as well. I think it was. I could be making that up completely. Maybe I'm mixing both stories together, but... it's a shame because, like, when you look at the hype that, you know, Game Pass gets for obvious reasons, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a, you know, a mistake to be hyped about that. I love it. I love that service. So Plus is getting, PS Now is getting Horizon Zero Dawn, Stranded Deep, Broforce, Wreckfest, The Surge 2, Darksiders 3. So they added those games. Like, I feel like, why isn't, like, Game Pass is a proven entity for Xbox. It's pretty much the lifeboat of the Titanic from last generation. Like, this is what's propelling Xbox into the future. Why, even though Sony is, you know, they're comfortable in their little echo chamber that they've created, why aren't they just adding this as a pillar? They have the games, they have the service, they just don't tell anyone about it. No one.
Yeah.
They don't tell a fucking human about this, and I don't understand.
Yeah. We were talking about this on the Discord today. But the thing that I think most people, the reason that that's the case is because most people kind of have a negative, view of PS Now from when it was just the game streaming service.
Right.
And it was janky and like you had to have super fast internet and it still sucked. Like very early on, it put a bad taste in people's mouths and they've never really recovered from that, even though they made some huge announcements around being able to download PS4 games, a lot of really amazing games coming to the service. The messaging has just been weird. I think what they need to do is just completely scrap the PS Now name, or even just keep the streaming service as PS Now, shift the downloadable options to a different service, completely rebrand it, and push it like Microsoft and Xbox are pushing Game Pass. Because everywhere you go in Microsoft's ecosystem, it's like, thank you, but also have you seen Game Pass? Did you hear about what's coming to Game Pass? And here's Xbox Live, but don't you want to get Game Pass with that? And they're like bundling it and including it everywhere and getting everyone into that ecosystem. So it just makes sense to like continue it. Like I think every single console comes with like a 3-month trial of Game Pass or something when you buy it. Like the fact that Sony isn't doing that and isn't trying to push it like Microsoft is the reason that I think it has this negative air around it.
Yeah.
So a full rebrand, I think Sony can really like compete with it because there are some fantastic games on that service. I subscribed to PS Now for a long time before I jumped over to PC. It's a good service. It just, is not getting the marketing push that Game Pass is.
Yeah,
well, I think one of the key issues with that is no games debut on PlayStation Now. Like looking at this Game Pass list, I can see Haven, Unto the End, and Monster Sanctuary are all games that are releasing day one on the Game Pass service.
Right.
We don't have for PS Now. They don't have like these big gets where it's like, okay, here's a new game. You get it day one on PS Now with your subscription. They don't have that. So it's hard to market that when your competitor does it, when they release so many more games than you do, plus having fresh games that are basically they're brand new on their platform.
I think you're right with the whole brand new part, but like PS Now does have close to 800 games now.
Oh sure, listen.
Like it has a ton of games. Yeah.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's not necessarily what people like when you look at Xbox, the way they do backwards compatibility, even that they advertise and they communicate way better than PlayStation does. PlayStation, you know, for the entire, basically the entire PS4 life cycle where they've had PS Now, you've been able to download PS2 games. You've been able to download PS4 games. You've been able to download some PS1 games, but like that's essentially backwards compatibility. Like that's how they do it. But they don't talk about it. They don't say it. They don't talk. They don't mention it. They don't say, "Hey, you could play every legacy title over 830 legacy." I think it's actually just under 800 legacy titles from our back catalog, all with PlayStation Now. Like even communicating that would go a long way. But they just don't lean into it, and it's weird because. The reason why I brought this up is because it's a juxtaposition, right? Like you have Xbox, you have what they're doing. They are Game Pass. Like that's what Xbox is. Xbox is Game Pass now. That's their thing. And so of course they're going to be better at it, right? But like,
oh, they need to be. If that's their thing, they got to be better at
it. They know that the model is working. I don't know if they know if it's profitable. Who knows if it is, we don't have those numbers, but I think the apprehension to putting the bigger games on there right away or spending the money to get the third party bigger games like an Assassin's Creed debuting on PS Now or whatever it might be. I think that that's kind of the issue here as well. I think that they might not want to put that choice in front of people to say, this is just like this, because when you really put them apples to apples, they're really not, right? They don't have those day one offerings, those big blockbusters. They have games of PlayStation's past. and a ton of them.
Yeah.
At the very least, I want to say, do a combo deal of PS Plus and Now. I think to entice
it's
some
like
people.
Game
like,
Plus
okay.
Ultimate.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like here, $60 for the year for PS Plus with a $20 add-on for, you know, PS Now, $80 for the year. Get you 800 games plus, you know, the Plus library.
Yeah.
Great. Sign me up instantly.
And they did a lot of upgrading of PlayStation 2 games.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They did like the PS2 like HD upscaling or whatever they did.
And
where
I
they
think trophy support
PS2.
Too.
Yes, trophy support. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Steve. Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2 is on there.
Yes, so, I have Dark Cloud.
He's well aware.
I have Dark
well
Cloud. I actually purchased Dark Cloud for PS4. Like, I was like, yeah, all right, I'll play this eventually again sometime in my life.
Two quick things on here. One is, Buzz called this out in chat, in addition to all of the 17 games, EA, what's it called? EA Play.
EA Play, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Is coming to PC this week as well.
Right.
It's already been on console, but it's also coming to PC. So that's another 30 games or something like that from EA, 25 games that you'll have access to. And just kind of my parting thought here is the fact that they are going out and they're getting these big games and putting all of their first party games on their day and date when they launch, I think is the biggest thing. They could not have a single other game launch day and date on Game Pass, but the fact that they're first party stuff and the fact that they're growing their first party stable is where I think people have a lot of confidence. And I think if Sony would never do this, but if they could match that, that would really put PS Now in the same conversation.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to, we have a little bit of PlayStation news here. Kotaku wrote up a piece where they did a little investigating over the other section of the PlayStation's hard drive. Of course, we're talking about, there are four sections of your hard drive. There's games and apps, media, save data, and other. And they were flummoxed as to why this seemingly random fluctuation of sizes of the other category. So I just want to read a couple of little excerpts from this. Officially, other is earmarked, quote, for system data needed for games and apps to work properly. How much space it takes up, end quote. How much space it takes up is dependent, quote, on how your console is being used, end quote. But beyond the console's frustratingly vague script, we found that game files have an undeniable effect on the number. When you download new games, other goes up. Delete those same games, and it goes down. Moving games to an external storage device seems to drive it down too. Kotaku has been asking Sony about how other storage space is allocated since November 16th, and a rep has only been able to tell us that they're looking into it. Some coverage of the issue has included reports that downloading PlayStation 4 games causes other to grow. In our testing, backwards compatible PS4 games use up far more space in the other than native PS5 games do. That space was in addition to the space they took in the games and apps. To quantify things, PS4 games appear to demand anywhere from 15 to 25% extra storage space in other beyond what's listed on paper as the official install size. And they give a couple of examples here. For example, God of War is a 45 gigabyte PS4 game. And the other storage added 9 extra gigs to it. The Doom Eternal was 61 gigs, and it added 12 gigs. They moved Doom Eternal from an external drive to the internal drive, and it added 12 gigs. They deleted Marvel's Avengers, which most people should.
God.
They deleted really 61 gigabytes, and it shrunk the other section by 11 gigs.
Steve.
Yeah.
This is just like the cache, right?
So,
is that what they're missing?
What it seems to be is that
it's like,
if you look at any sort of temporary files, especially when you're running, basically, I don't want to say emulated, but non-native content specifically.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of, like, I downloaded a game, for example, and I noticed the other went up. And then about 4 days after the other went up, it shrunk down, and I made no changes to the game. I think it was Godfall that I downloaded. So something's happening here where it must be putting something in. And my hunch is that it has to do with the, well, they said that it was mostly PS4 games, but I had a hunch that at least in Godfall's case, that had to do with the activity cards. Because when you come up to an event and you unlock certain things, like, for example, some trophies where it'll be like, oh, you did 15% of this trophy, right? You can go into that, click that activity card, and start right where that activity is taking place. For example, in Miles Morales, it might be a side mission. It'll say this side mission is 80% complete. You can click it, and it takes you right to where that side mission is, and you can continue it and beat it. I think it has something to do with that, to be honest with you. I think it's storing that information so that it could quickly bring you into that without loading screens and pulling data and figuring shit out. Yep. I think it's doing those calculations while you're playing, storing them in a cache, and then if you either do them on your own time where you're not using that speed feature, it gets rid of them and pulls in the new ones that you've unlocked. That's kind of my theory here. I feel like I don't know how I would prove that. That part is a little above my pay grade, which is $0. So I think that might have something to do with it. But regardless of all of that, I have two issues. They say that they've contacted Sony a bunch of times, and they haven't. They said they'll get back to them. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're Kotaku, you have to have somebody that's a little bit more, that has a little bit more weight to them. Like, I feel like they have a direct line to like a Mark Cerny, who would know everything about this. Like, how do they not have
Mark Cerny adjacent?
No,
you know,
or like an assistant? Way. Or there's not no way. There's not no way, because he's done.
You're telling me you think the EIC just has like Mark Cerny's cell phone number?
No, I don't mean like that. I mean like they could call their contact at Sony and say, can we interview Mark Cerny or somebody on that team?
Sure.
And just do an interview where they just ask them questions. The other issue that I have is on the Sony side. Why can't, my finger's bleeding, by the way. There it is.
It's the rage.
Why can't we just communicate what shit is doing? Just tell people. Why is this so hard for them? Everything they do is a fucking top secret, like they're working for NASA or Area 51. Just talk, say things. I don't understand it at all. Why is the hard drive only 698 workable gigs? Like, we all know the kind of, right? It's the operating system, yada, yada. But they don't say it. Yeah. They don't fucking say it. They don't say it.
We'll
God forbid they say
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, well, no, just don't worry about it. Just take what we give you. Why isn't the storage? Why isn't
right
storage?
Here.
Why isn't the expandable storage working day one? Why? Why?
Because we were too busy.
No reason. The answer is no reason.
Up-resing the resolution of...
They don't have a reason. They don't have a reason. That's why they don't communicate anything, because they're just like, they don't have a reason. They don't know. Or they have a reason, but it's not a sexy reason. It's not an exciting reason.
It shows a fuck up, probably. Yeah. Like, shit.
The reason is because it doesn't work.
You noticed that, guys?
The reason is something's broken.
Solve these issues, Steve?
What's that?
You want to know what could solve these issues?
If you say PC gaming, I will slap you upside the
head. No, fucking releasing the consoles with bigger hard drives. My God.
Listen.
Like,
yeah.
It is. I mean, I get it. They're just working on it. I don't know.
Or if you know it's going to be an issue, just have your external SSD shit work day one. Like, make that top priority.
The external,
like,
anything.
This is going to be an issue.
So have you had the external storage priority issues? Andy, have you had it where it just doesn't work, or it just crashes your system over and over again?
I haven't. No, not at all.
So, every time I put my PlayStation in sleep, I don't have an external drive. I just use my PlayStation normally. I use the storage that's on there. If I have to delete something, I'll delete it, because I'm not a baby back bitch, and I'm okay with doing that.
Yeah, totally fine.
I'm totally fine with doing that.
Totally fine.
But every time I put it in sleep mode and I turn it on, it asks me to press the PS button on my controller, and my controller's on. And I keep pressing it, and it doesn't do anything.
Like,
it won't let me get out of that screen.
Wait a minute.
And then I hit the other one, and I turn the other, and the other controller turns on. and it still says press that PS button. I'm like, what PS button? The controllers are on, man. And I keep pressing them.
Plug in your DualShock 3 controller into your PS5 and try that one.
But maybe.
See if that works.
So what I have to do then is I have try to just shut off the PlayStation and then turn it on from the button. So now if I turn it on from the button and then turn the controller on.
Sure.
It'll work.
Uh-huh.
It's the weirdest Jesus shit. I don't understand it whatsoever. That is the weirdest thing that I've never had a game crash yet on me.
You're right.
I've never had any sort of weird sounds from my disk drive, although I haven't put a disk in the system yet.
I've had one issue that was Demon's Souls wouldn't load, but it wasn't frozen. I could still go to the home menu and it wouldn't start, so I had to do a restart.
It was just
after that.
I'm good.
It was a one-time thing, never happened again, but enough. I was like, it's not stuck. It's like, I can still go to other menus and play other games, but that game just wouldn't load.
That's weird. So. Did you hear about the Assassin's Creed Series X save glitch that's happening right now?
What?
What's going on?
What is happening?
After playing for a half an hour, it doesn't let you save the game.
So what do you do?
You have to, if you're doing something, you have to exit the game, and then it'll prompt you, hey, are you sure? You don't want... No, it's happening on Assassin's Creed too. I was talking to two people about it today. It's obviously not a Series X problem. It's not like fucking Xbox ruining everything. It's two Ubisoft games. You have to exit the game and then it'll say, hey, are you sure? You should probably save, and then you save.
If you fucking let me
load back in, and you have to do that like every half hour.
I'm trying to do, asshole.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Damn.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a bizarre fucking thing that's happening in video games. Anyway, speaking of bizarre things, what's the next story on the story doc?
Taylor, give us this I want to slap you in the face article you put in here.
Hey, you ready for this? You ready for this, guys?
Go ahead.
So everyone knows the biggest issue with the PlayStation architecture is that backwards compatibility is very difficult. They haven't really supported backwards compatibility. Everyone knows that's the biggest issue.
Not the things you just mentioned.
Yeah,
but that is the biggest issue.
Everyone knows that. Lucky for you, there's a solution for this.
Mm-hmm.
Buy an Xbox. Apparently, a lot of people are booting up their Xbox Series X or S in developer mode, and it allows them to run, because it's basically just an AMD framework, so it's like a little PC in there. It allows them to run certain emulator programs, and they are emulating PS2 games on their Xboxes. So if you want to play games like Metal Gear Solid 2, Jak and Daxter, etc., just buy an Xbox, and then you can play all of those iconic PlayStation 2 games.
You could just get PS Now, and you can play all those games too. But
yeah, I could do it on my Ouya as well.
You know, what if PlayStation's using Series S's to emulate in the cloud?
My Switch can run RetroArch, so it's totally fine. You know what's funny? Even like
your PS5.
I am sure the PS4 can.
The PS4 can run RetroArch.
Was that before or after they removed the Linux and pissed off 30,000 people?
Well, you gotta jailbreak it to get that shit to work jailbreak. Properly. Just like your Switch.
Tweet. Speaking of emulations, Andy.
Oh boy, you guys, did you hear? Game Boy Advance is coming to Switch.
Maybe.
It's here. Awesome. According to this headline, which confirms it, Nintendo Switch to get a new virtual console.
Oh my.
Adding Nintendo Game Boy Advance. Oh my god. And then the first line tells us Nintendo might add a new virtual console, according to a new rumor, which evidently...
Top tier journalism right there, folks.
We would know at some point today if it was real. Well, guess what? Today happened, and this didn't come to fruition. So I want to ask you guys, if this was a thing, if Nintendo actually did something with their Nintendo Online service and added, you know, a back catalog of their library, what would you play first?
Advance Wars. The Game Boy Next Advance? Question.
Advance Wars. Great, great, great choice. How are you, Taylor?
I would
what's your pick, Taylor?
Final Fantasy Tactics, probably.
Advanced.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good game.
Very good game.
But yeah, or rumors.
The Harry Potter game that I can't remember the name of from when I was a kid. I was at Hogwarts. I was Harry Potter. It was fantastic.
I think I would try that. What was that? There's that one game that needed like solar power. Remember that game? I think it was a Kojima game too.
Probably.
That sounds like a vampire Kojima. Sunlight game. You like solar power your Game Boy Advance or your Game Boy or some shit to get it to work properly. I would play that or Castlevania Circle of the Moon first. Great game.
Wonderful. So I spoke about activities, the PS5 activities cards a little earlier. And Vice came out with an article. There was an internal document that I don't know if it was leaked or whatever it was, but apparently they've been planning this for years and gathering data from players to and asking them questions about how they play games. And the main problem was with single player games. So on this doc, it says, and this is the one that the presentation opens. This is a presentation, I guess, on this internal doc, opens by saying everyone knows single player is dying, with a list of top selling PlayStation 4 games. Grand Theft Auto 5, Black Ops 4 dominating sales because of their multiplayer modes. The next slide, however, Sony explains that in reality, its internal tracking data shows that single player is thriving and PlayStation users are regularly spending more time playing offline than online. The charts are watermarked, so they don't put them in here. But they then outlined what players say are their problems with single player games. And there are four bullet points here that they highlight. Quote, one is no idea how long I might need. I don't play unless I have 2+ free hours. The other one is it takes time to scan through long help videos when I'm stuck. The other one was it's how to engage socially without the risk of spoilers. And the fourth one, which we've all been there, is forgot what I was doing in the game last time and it's hard to get back into the game.
Yep.
So it's very interesting because that was what I was apprehensive to using the cards because I'm not used to playing games like that. But playing Miles Morales, like I had mentioned before, it's really incredible to get in. You could go from your PlayStation menu, scroll down and see what you were doing in the game and what side missions are unlocked to you and how far you are and how long they take on average other players to do. One of them, for example, was a side mission where I was trying to find somebody's lost cat and it said, 5 minutes playtime. I was like, oh shit, all right, I could do that. I highlighted it. I said, I went to start. It brought the Miles Morales little swinging through the web. Boom, I was right there, right in front of the character that gives you the quest. Press triangle, did the thing. Less than 5 minutes later, I was done with the activity. Boom. And then I pressed the options button, went to the next one, said, oh, I'm 81% through with this activity. Boom, teleport me right into the middle of the activity. And it's no loading screen. It's just, it fades to black, comes back, boom, you're right there in the middle of it. It makes playing these single player games where you're trophy hunting or you're activity hunting or you're just trying to 100% something so much quicker to do, so much easier to do. And it's really kind of what fascinates me is how they got to that. And I didn't realize it, but it is a brilliant way to get somebody who's busy, somebody who can't play a million games or only has a couple of hours a day or maybe an hour a day to play something. It really is helpful. Andy, have you been using the cards at all?
Yeah, I'm loving it, dude. I really wish it was there for every single trophy in the game. Like, I played through most of Astro's Playroom. Mm. Like, all my activities are done, but I still have, like, 6 trophies left. And it's all, like, weird things like go down a slope for, like, 5 or 6 seconds or punch 20 robots with one swing motion. It's like those things, like, okay, I gotta actually get online, research those things. But for the most part, for the beefy chunky missions, those are in there in the cards, which I love. It's like, okay, cool, I'm doing this. Where did I last leave off? All right, I'll do that later. That bored me. I'll go on this activity. I'm loving it. I wish that every game had it though as a built-in feature, which it's not going to happen, I don't think, but the ones that do have it, I'm loving it.
100%. That's hilarious. The video that's embedded in this article about it is Patrick Klepek doing the Lost Cat mission. That's the first one I used it on. That's really funny. That's really, really funny. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I can't wait to see how games kind of do this. And a lot of trophies do allow you to do have activities, but they're more, mm-hmm. they're the trackable ones. It's like if you have to kill 100 enemies or, mm-hmm. or find a cat, a hidden item in a base, you could, mm-hmm. it'll allow you to go right to that base and find mm-hmm. that item. I haven't used the walkthroughs though. I haven't used those yet.
Those are fun.
All right. We're getting very long.
Cause it just shows you just enough to know what to do, but without saying do this exactly to get the thing you need to get.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting long here. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the frames. All of a sudden we just started dropping frames. So it's fun. We're having a great time. all right. Get us into the hype zone, Andy.
You guys, 2020 is officially saved for real this time. Because
I believe it.
Real life magician, an actual psychic and spoonbender, Uri Geller, has lifted his ban on the Kadabra Pokemon code card. To quote him 20 years ago, "Nintendo turned me into an evil occult Pokemon character. Nintendo stole my identity by using my name and my signature image. I want to tell the world before the start of the holiday season that I have nothing whatsoever to do with these violent characters." And he was right. Pokemon is violent and the devil's work. But in the past 20 years, he's thought it over, had a change of heart. And now he says this: "I am truly sorry for what I did 20 years ago. Kids and grown-ups, I am releasing the ban. It is now all up to Nintendo to bring my Kadabra Pokemon card back. It'll probably be one of the rarest cards now. Much energy and love to all." Yes. What is, I believe, a true act of kindness and not at all attention-grabbing horridness of Uri Geller. Thank you, sir, for being just a great citizen of the world and to make every gamer just remember your name as someone that gives us this great, powerful gift.
The funniest part about it all is that he has a box full of Pokemon Kadabra memorabilia. Like, clearly you were just being a dick. Like, that's all you were doing.
Also,
here.
Listen, on a serious note, this lawsuit was tossed out like, "Are you fucking crazy?" like 20 years ago. And Nintendo was like, "Listen, this guy is obviously a loon. Let's not deal with him right now and just not do the cards anymore, because this guy is a little woo-hoo." Like,
I saw those Charizard cards going for $100,000 and was like, "I bet my cards will be worth that much."
Maybe.
You have to legit look him up on the Johnny Carson show years ago, where he was asked to bend some spoons. And they were like, "All right, bend the spoons, but we're going to provide you with the spoons ourselves. You can't touch it beforehand. Just on the live show, bend it for us." And he was like, "Yeah, I feel a little off tonight. I'm not feeling the energy." It's like, you huckster. You big fat phony.
He's a phony.
A phony, but a hero at the same time.
Indeed. A true hero. A Pokemon legend.
A true hero.
All right, so before we get into our mailbag to wrap the show up, let's get into our Facebook question of the week. Let me open it up because I definitely didn't open that up prior because we didn't want to do. Anyway, what would you like Blue Point to remake? That was the question. And we got a couple of good answers here. Joseph says Wet.
Oh, wow.
He wants a Wet.
That's a reference. I missed that game.
And
that was a good game.
Taylor, you agreed with Andy with Legend of Dragoon. Mm-hmm. Thorn, our own Thorn, said Jade Cocoon.
Oof.
That's a good
another
game.
Great PS1 classic right indeed. There.
Matt Murray, missed enough. Our favorite future t-shirt maker. Soul Reaver or Blood Omen?
Golden Legacy of Kain. I love it.
And Joseph comes back in and says Lunar Silver Star Story.
Wow, a lot of RPG love.
Indeed.
I'm seeing in these answers, which is great. Great games, too.
Joe Gonzalez replied to Joseph and says, or that alongside Eternal Blue as a 2-in-1 collection.
Wow.
Let's not get greedy. CT Dub was very confused over the question. understood nothing about it.
And just said bacon in his answer.
Buzz says Superman 64 because he's a big idiot.
Okay, that's
Gordon Rowe says Xenogears and Bloodborne.
Wow, Bloodborne. Maybe a I think it's a little too soon for Bloodborne. Like, we'll likely get a remaster of that. It doesn't need a full blown remake.
Yeah, Raymond. Yeah.
Xenogears for sure.
Raymond says D. Is D a game? Or is
D
it
is
just
a game on PlayStation 1. Okay. It is the first game starring Laura, the first ever digital actress. There was D.
Yes. Okay.
D0, D2.
Yep. That's the Laura. I do recall this. You're absolutely correct. I do recall this. All right. We do have a mailbag question.
Oh, boy.
We have a mailbag question. This is from our number one mailbagger. He's a big old bagger.
I love it.
He's Dr. Mike. Mikey Kirsch.
One mailbagger.
He says, I'll keep it short. Blue Point Games is amazing, and we love them. We always talk about the games we'd like for them to remake. Personally, I would love a totally remade and revamped Ape Escape. A more interesting discussion is what we'd like to see them make on their own. So, in a perfect world where Sony does acquire Blue Point, what genre or style of game do you think Blue Point should make that might be missing in Sony's current catalog of first-party titles? Taylor.
I have the correct answer here.
Yes.
Oh, go for it.
Because of how well they handled Demon's Souls, I would trust Blue Point to make the sequel to Bloodborne. I think that they could absolutely nail that. It's not necessarily adding something new that's missing from Sony's first-party stable, per se. But it's something that people are clamoring for. The world would lose their minds about this. They could get assistance from Japan Studios, who helped work on the first one with FromSoft. I think they could totally nail that. So I would love to see Blue Point make Demon's Soul, Bloodborne 2.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Taylor on that. Like, my mind first went to what would a new IP from them look like? What kind of game should they make, given the chance? Like, should it be like a third-person action-adventure game? Should it be a first-person shooter? Should it be like their take on a PlayStation All-Stars situation, like a fighting game? But the idea of them handling a sequel to a franchise that desperately needs one, like a Demon's Souls or a Bloodborne, or even Uncharted. I'm kind of into that. I kind of want that right now, to be honest.
I'm going a different route because there is something that Sony is missing from their first-party studios.
Warhawk.
Games of service. They're missing that one persistent online game that people can play and dump money into. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see Blue Point do a Monster Hunter-like cooperative game. Where you could, it doesn't necessarily have to be melee combat. Maybe you could use gun, I don't know, whatever. But something that has a lot of loot, a lot of crafting, a lot of hunting of big giant creatures together, living in a persistent world, maybe not necessarily an MMO like, but something of that nature. I would like to see them do something of that. And you could even set this in a Bloodborne universe where you could make it that art style. You could even make it a part of the actual sequel because they do have multiplayer in those games.
Like a prequel where it's just like a bunch of hunters from the church.
Exactly. You could all be hunters and living in this world together, and that'd be dope.
It's such a scary thought to think what a game of theirs would be like as a new IP, because they're so good at taking a template of established success like Shadow of the Colossus or Demon's Souls and just making it better for a new audience. But like, what if they make a game that's theirs and it's not good? That terrifies me so much.
That's why I think a sequel makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because then they still kind of have like that architecture to work with.
There's a blueprint.
They have more creative freedom, you know?
Yeah.
And they are so good with melee combat, as we saw from Shadow of the Colossus and Demon's Souls. That's why I was thinking more along the lines of like a sequel to Bloodborne or something.
Yeah, because
like
I could imagine them saying to themselves, we could change up X, Y, and Z in Demon's Souls, but we can't we can't fuck with the original. It's that's their work. We're here to make it better. Right. Not just change it for our own. But like, if you're given a chance, okay, guys, you've done Demon Souls, do a Demon Souls 2. It's like, great, we've had all these ideas during development time. Now let's execute on them. Make it our own for the sequel.
Yeah.
I like a lot.
All right, folks, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @duel_screens. I am at batchild27. Andy is at pantsguy, and Taylor is at itsperger. And if you want to join our Facebook group where we post the Facebook question of the week, which I will post in a few moments, go to facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts. If you want to watch us record this show live, go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams and hit that little heart and give us a follow. I think we hit like 200 follows recently, which is pretty cool. Do that. And if you want to watch this later, if you're listening to this and you want to watch the video version of this, go to youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And if you are watching this on YouTube, hit that thumbs up, comment, subscribe, notification bell, all that fun stuff. Do all that. Thank you to Zazu Pitts of Sourdough Productions for 16-bit attack. But we have a new theme song, and that is by Bradley Parsons. That's Train Sound Studio. And you've probably heard it. It went up last week, and we love it very much. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay, our logos. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for our cartoon art. We need to get you to make Taylor a cartoon version. We need you to do that. Don't forget to join.
I don't have any facial hair, so it's just going to look like an oversized baby. I'm excited about it.
That's going to be better. That's great. That could be your thing. Yeah. That could be your.
Because we're both beardy, so having a nice like.
Yeah, a nice clean shaven. Yeah. Boss baby. Yeah.
I'm into it.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
I'm Boss Baby now.
Join our Patreon, patreon.com/NDS podcast. And if you want to buy some merch, go to dualscreens.com/store. And of course, look at all of our content. We have tons of reviews going up. Like, we're doing like 2 or 3 a week right now on the website, trying to create them into videos, but some games are harder to capture than others. So hopefully we could get those done. Look to our YouTube channel for more video content. I'm going to be editing one all day tomorrow. That's going to do for us. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
I'm trying to think. Our next interview is tomorrow. It's another sexy game. I'm very excited about it.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Andy really shines.
I'm gonna play some right now, actually.
Good Lord.
In the dead of night, like it deserves to be played.
Taylor, any parting words?
Yeah, if you like the goofiness between myself and Steve and you want to see that in a long form style, he and I are going to be streaming together this coming Saturday, celebrating hitting 400 followers each on Twitch, twitch.tv/batchild, twitch.tv/itsperger. Come hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yes, we're working out the logistics, but I think we're going to be doing a video game roulette where we're going to figure out a way for you to decide to have a spin a wheel and play a random game, essentially. They're going to be assorted games that we both have, and we're going to be playing them together, and we're going to play all night. So please join us for that. That is going to do it for us. Thank you so much, listeners. Thank you, viewers. I'm Stephen Fontana. That is Andy Asimakis. That is Taylor Allen. We are Dual Screens. This has been Crossplay Podcast. We love you. And as always, please be excellent to each other.